I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a bird can harm me. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child. It's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven, sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a bird shall harm me. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a bird can harm me. Sheltered safe within the arms of God.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Becca, for the good song tonight. I appreciate you just walking down the hallway before church and said, hey, would you sing? And they were happy to do so, and I'm glad they use their talent for the Lord. Amen. All right, Joshua chapter 1 in your Bible there. Find the good passage. You're familiar with it, Joshua chapter 1. And I want to speak tonight for a little bit on this subject, strength and courage. Strength and courage, okay? Give you a moment to find it. And I'm not going to read the entire passage, but I want you to see that verse number 6 says, be strong and of a good courage. And then I want you to see verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And then again in verse number 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. So tonight for a little bit, strength and courage. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to serve you, to be in the house tonight, to worship you, for the good fellowship, music, the opportunity, Lord, to just enjoy each other's company. But now we come to your word. And oh God, would you please quieten our hearts and help us in be in a place that we could receive it tonight. The good seed of your word, may it fall on good ground and bring forth fruit in our lives. Please help me, I pray, Fill us all with your Spirit that we might be helped tonight, both speaker and listeners. My prayer in Christ's name. And amen. New endeavors require certain qualities in a person's character. Think about it. To start a business or to begin a different career vocationally, to start a church, to speak publicly, on and on I could go. These type endeavors require certain qualities of character in order for a person to be successful at them. They require different qualities, but all of them require strength and courage. Strength and courage. Some may be more than others, but think about it, folks. Standing to speak publicly for the first time requires strength and courage. Starting a new career work-wise. I think about someone in the church here who probably in the next 6 to 8 months, 9 months is looking at facing having to go into a different or a different career or a new career when they've been doing something else for years and years, and that takes strength and courage. It requires a certain amount of strength and courage. Certainly conquering a new land would definitely require strength and courage. And that's what we read about in these verses, strength and courage, 3 times in 4 verses, 6, 7, and 9. So in the space of 4 verses, God uses the words strength and courage, strength and courage, strength and good courage. Now what's going on here? Well, the children of Israel were going into the promised land. Verse 1 and 2, you see here that Moses has died. Now, after the death of Moses, and God said in verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. So Moses has died, and the children of Israel left without their faithful leader. And God comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, it's time to go in. And verses 3 and 4, God talks to them about every place. He promises them, every place that your foot steps on, I'm going to give you. And in verse number 4, He gives them the parameters, the boundaries of this land, and mentions that. In verse number 5, God promises to be with Joshua as He was with Moses. Now you think about Joshua, you think about that. You think about filling the shoes of Moses. I'll tell you something, folks, that'd be scary. Now, that would be scary. Now, you take a crowd like this, you just have them write down on a piece of paper, you just ask the question, who do you think was the most effective, greatest leader in the Old Testament? And I'll tell you, a large portion of God's people would answer Moses. Moses. Now, you think about that. Now, here's Joshua. He's a younger man. He's got to follow in Moses' footsteps. And so God comes to him, I love it, in verse number 5, and He says to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I remember when Brother Joe Brown became the official pastor at Marion Avenue Baptist Church, and of course took over for his dad, who'd been there 33 plus years, and I just, the Spirit of God just brought to my attention on that Sunday morning, well, Brother Joe is starting as the official pastor at Marion Avenue, following in the footsteps of his father, and I texted him this verse. I didn't text the whole verse. I just texted, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And he texted back and said, thank you for the encouragement, you know. And he's done a wonderful job out there, succeeding his dad in the ministry out there at that church. And so God comes to Joshua and He tries to encourage him. Says, I'm going to be with you now, like I was with Moses. And then in verses 6 and 7 and 9, God mentions the necessity of strength and courage. Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. I am with you. Be strong and of a good courage. Now think about it, folks. Live this a little bit in your mind. These men of Israel, these men, they had their families with them. They had wives. They had children. And they're going into a land inhabited by enemies. Think about that. Think about what they were facing. You know, that was probably the greatest fear I had moving to Bourbonnais 26 and a half years ago. I did not want to move my wife and the 4 children that we had that time out of the will of God. I was in a comfort zone, man. I was 70, you know, with Brother Brown, who we had a wonderful working relationship, and to this day, we talked on the phone this week, and we do most weeks. And we had four children born out there, lived 17 miles from my in-laws, who were a great influence on our children. I was with people that I loved and people who loved us. And, you know, it took a little bit of strength and courage to move. To leave a comfortable situation to encounter what to me was an unknown. It was an unknown. And so here they are. They're going to the land of Canaan, and they got wives. And they got children. And what are we going to face when we get in there? And Moses is gone. And so God comes and He says over and over again, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong. And many of you have faced those type situations. So you can appreciate how the children of Israel probably felt and added to that. Again, Moses had died. And so here, facing this new challenge that required them to be strong and very courageous, what did God draw their attention to? He drew their attention to His Word. He drew their attention to His Word. And look what He said in verse number 7. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper with us whoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. They were going into a heathen land that was filled with ways of heathen people. And what did God draw their attention to? He drew it to the Word of God. And He said, I want you to get some strength and some courage. Because, friend, look, the greatest source of the strength and courage that they needed was found in being obedient to God's Word. And they wouldn't be obedient to it if they didn't think about it. And they wouldn't think about it if they didn't read it. And that's what He's saying to them here. So they're going into a heathen land filled with heathen people. There was no worship of God in the land where they were going. They had altars to build. They had sacrifices to make. They had a tabernacle to set up. All of this in a land, I don't miss this, that was filled with ways of people that God didn't want His people to imitate. You read the Bible? God said, when you go in that land, don't you live like they live. Don't you do after their ways. Don't you do that. You're going into a land filled with people that I don't want you to imitate. I don't want you to be imitated or to be intimidated by their culture. I don't want you to give in to it. You're going into a land where there's no worship of God. And you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And you're going to have to live strikingly different. Almost like a counterculture to the people who already live there. When you study out some of the things that those people were involved in, some of it was sodomy and other things. And he said, you're my people. You're my folks. You have a manner of life different than the inhabitants of the land. You have, if you want to call it, a culture different from the culture that you're going to be living amongst. I do not want you to lose your identity. I am a jealous God. So, children of Israel, be strong. Children of Israel, be courageous. Be strong physically. You're going to have to fight some battles. But along with that, more than that, be strong spiritually. You be strong and you be of a good courage. And you obey my word and you meditate on my word and read my word, folks. And that's what he's telling them. Because they're going to go, you know, we don't stop and think sometimes and try to put ourselves in the shoes of what's happening here in the passage. But they're going into a land they've never been in before amongst the people whose ways don't please God. And they're going to be intimidated. Intimidated by this culture that's counterculture to God's culture. He says, you be strong. You be courageous. And then he goes into those wonderful promises of prosperity and good success. In verses 7 and 8, he uses the words, mayest prosper, make thy way prosperous, have good success. Look, the Word of God, what little they had of it in written form back then. How much of it do you think they had in written form? I don't know. They had the law. Did they have the book of Genesis? I mean, Moses was supposed to have been the one to append all that. So I suppose they had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy and put it all. But that's all they had, folks. They had five books. Maybe they had some of the written stuff from the book of Job. I don't know. But what little they had of it, that would be their source of strength. That would be their source of courage. As they read it, and as they thought about it, and as they obeyed it, they would find a resource for the strength and the courage that they so desperately needed. Now, not much has changed, my friends. Not much has changed. We don't have to conquer enemy armies. We don't have to overtake walled cities. There are no physical giants to battle like we're in the land of Canaan. But I want to tell you something. There are enemies striving to conquer us and hinder us from enjoying a victorious Christian life. They're enemies. And there are, listen now, strongholds within us. Because Paul talked about them. He talked about them to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And he talked about the strongholds that are in us. Strongholds that gives the devil access almost, influence, not to possess us, but to influence us. And gives the world influence over us. We have these strongholds inside of us. Those giant walled strongholds that must be pulled down. Have to be pulled down. Like the city of Jericho that stood before the children of Israel with those humongous walls, thick walls. And within God's people, and don't tell me that's not true, each and every one of us fights our own battles. Each one of us does. There's strongholds, and those things can be very, very difficult. And I think sometimes influences that aren't healthy and good and right get into us through those strongholds, and those need to be torn down. And there are spiritual giants to battle and to defeat. And I'm going to tell you something else. There is most definitely a culture around us that is a counterculture to the way that God wants us to live. There's no doubt about that. Everybody's pretty pumped up right now about Mr. Trump, President Trump, and all the things. And you know, I told somebody the other day, for the first time in a long time, you know, he makes me want to turn on the news to see what he's doing. See who he's making mad. You can sometimes judge a man's character by his enemies. Yes, sir. But I want to tell you something. If you think that the culture of sinfulness and wickedness is going to change completely under a president like Mr. Trump, I think you're sadly mistaken. So for me and you to live for God, it's going to take strength and courage. Just like it did for these folks back then. Strength and courage. Most certainly, strength and courage are necessary for the inner strength and courage it takes to obey God and fill His hand. That consecration, that theme, reestablishing, that theme, filling His hand, doing His will, being at His disposal. It takes inner strength and courage to do that. So as it was for the children of Israel in Joshua's day, so it is for you and me in our day. What is our source of strength? What is our source of courage? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the same as it was for Joshua and the children of Israel. It's this book right here. This book right here. The results are no different. It will still make our way prosperous. It will still give us good success. But folks, don't make the short-sighted conclusion here that this is speaking of prosperity and success financially. That's fine if God allows it, but there are so many things that work together to create prosperity and success that have nothing to do with money. A home filled with loving relationships. A life experience of inner peace. A posterity that honors God and lives for Him. A sense of usefulness in God's work. A life that influences others for Christ. A walk of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. All of those are more valuable than riches and gold. All of them. That's why the psalmist, Psalm 19, after listing the virtues of God's law and His testimony and His statutes and His commandment and His fear and His judgment, after listing the virtues of those things referring to His Word, he penned these words, "More to be desired are they more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, yea, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Don't make the mistake of thinking that the prosperity and the success he's talking about here is all related to money. I tell you, money just engulfs us sometimes. There's a lot of things in life that are more valuable than money. A lot of things. It takes strength and courage. Strength and courage. Now, I've said all that to set up the remainder of the message for us, and it won't be that long tonight. The month of February is a month we are using to promote consecration in the area of our Bible reading. We've been emphasizing prayer in the month of January. We're going to emphasize reading our Bibles in the month of February, filling God's hands, doing His will, putting ourselves at His disposal when it comes to His Word. I'm talking about reading it and meditating on it and obeying it, friend. And all the successes and prosperities that God desires for us to experience, people, are predicated on us being people of the book. People of the book. Be strong, God says. Be courageous. Be strong physically. Be strong spiritually. And get into the Bible and read it and meditate on it and then obey it. If you don't read it, you can't think about it. If you don't think about it, you'll never obey it. So let's fill God's hand in the month of February by being consecrated. Let's consecrate ourselves to the reading of His Bible. Now, I'm trying to give you resources to help you. And gave you the Bible reading schedule back at the beginning of the year. I know that you're able to read through the Old Testament with that. You're able to read through the New Testament with that. Kids are able to read through the book of Psalms. Kids are able to read through the book of Proverbs. You can read through something this year. By the way, a very faithful, dedicated, blessed couple came and sat down just a while ago and said, "Can we talk to you? Can we have 3 minutes of your time?" And I said, "Sure." And this is the kind of meeting you love to have with people. And they said, "You know, the emphasis on reading the Bible. And you gave us the Bible reading schedule. And these folks are beyond their 50s. Beyond their 50s. And the man did the talking and he said, "You know, for whatever reason," he said, "they weren't reasons, they were just excuses. I never consistently got in the habit of reading my Bible." He said, "But at the beginning of this year, we determined we were going to do it. My wife and I have done it together." You know, I'm going to tell you something, folks. It took a lot of humility to come in and say that. I didn't ask him to say that. It took a lot of humility to come in and tell your pastor that I've gone this far in my Christian life and I just never really have gotten consistent in the Word of God. But I don't think that's an anomaly. I don't think that's an aberration. I think it's the average Christian. That's what I think. I'm not chiding you. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you the facts. That's what I think. I think it's just we've allowed ourselves to get so busy we don't have time for God. Don't have time for His Word. Folks, there's so many resources available now. Let me tell you, if I get in a pinch of a morning where my morning is squeezed and I don't have the time that it takes for me to read my Bible reading, you know what I have now? I have a phone with a Bible program on it. Instead of listening to those sports guys blather in the morning and be dirty, I can plug that phone in, the sound system of that truck, and listen to the Word of God being read in my ears. Shame on us if we don't get in it. Now, trying to help you, I've done a little something for the month of February. I've written a little book, a little devotional booklet on 2 Samuel. There are 24 chapters in 2 Samuel. 24. There, if you take out the Sundays in the month of February, there are 24 days, Monday through Saturday. 24 days in the month of February, not counting the Sundays. And I've written just a little one-page paragraph or so lesson on every chapter. This is chapter 1, this is chapter 2, and read February 1st, read chapter 1, the 2nd, read chapter 2, so forth. You skip the Sunday. There's a couple of questions at the bottom to fill in and answer. Then there's some suggested reading in other passages if you want to read more on the subject. For instance, February the 2nd out of 2 Samuel chapter 2 is about sowing and reaping. And there's some writing here, some questions, and then there's at the bottom more on sowing and reaping, Galatians chapter 6. If you have the time and you want to read further. And I have enough of these tonight. I don't forget how many we did, but we got several. And if I want you to take one, look, if you don't want to take it, don't take it. Don't take it home, then it's sin. If you want to use it for family devotions, take one. Use it for family devotions. If you want to take it and add it to what you're doing, or if you haven't started, look at that. That's one chapter and that much work, that much devotion, and the two or three questions. Surely you have that much time. Oh, no, you have it. You just got to consecrate it. You got to consecrate it. People, when those Levites consecrated themselves to the Lord in Moses' day, they had to pick up a sword and go through and kill rebels. Some of them were their own family and friends. Thank God He doesn't ask us to do that. But certainly we can fill God's hand in the area of reading the Word of God. You have sometime during the 24-hour period that we call a day, you have time to consecrate some minutes to fill God's hand when it comes to reading your Bible. So I want you to, we'll get these out in just a little bit. And the whole process starts with reading it, because you can't meditate on it unless you read it. And you won't obey it unless you think about it. And I remember years ago, and we go back to the old auditorium before we moved in here in 2001, because this has been a theme since I got here in 1990. And those of you that inherited me when I got here, you know that. It's been over and over and over again, because this is what it's meant to me since I got saved. And Mike Hagee telling me in the front seat of that van, "Son, you keep reading that Bible, God will use you. Just keep reading it. And God will use you." And I'm not a great servant of God, but I haven't put it down for these 41 years. I've been in it. And many of you have. Many more can be and should be. And I preached on it again one Sunday morning and almost apologized for saying to the people in the message is about reading the Bible. One married man, I guess in his 40s, he came to me and he said, "Pastor, don't ever stop. Don't ever stop every so often coming and reminding us about our responsibility to read the Word of God." He said, "I need it." He was honest. I go out to sometimes to preach at these churches. I have an old sermon that I used here many years ago called "Oh Happy Day," about what God's Word is to us when God began to give His Word there in Exodus 32, and what it is to us. You've heard it. It's to be a nourishing food and cleansing water and guiding light and perpetual fire. It's in the terms of a message, it's simple. It's simple. And sometimes I go to churches and God puts that message on my heart. And I say, "Lord, these people are coming on a Monday night or a Tuesday night to a service." And I argue with God about preaching a message on reading His Word. And ultimately God wins. And it's a shocking thing, folks, to preach a simple message about being consistent and faithful, filling God's hand in a reading, and the altars are full. Full. It's a common need across the board, especially today's world. Things have just infiltrated us so much, so we just, our time, and all these gizmos and gadgets are wonderful, but they eat up time. You know they do. They eat up time. So fill God's hand. Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord in the area of your Bible reading. You know what, people? You're going to honor God. You're going to honor God if you'd spend a little time in His Word. And you're going to personally benefit. You're going to receive strength, and you're going to receive... This was... What little bit of the Bible they had was the source of their strength and courage. When God was talking to them about how badly they needed strength and courage, He took them to His Word. That's no accident. It is God's people's strength. It is our courage. Hey, I tell you what, man, you get something out of the Bible and then you go out and work amongst a culture that's everything God's Word isn't. It'll help you live for God. Help you be a testimony. You'll benefit from it. You'll get strength and courage to obey God in a culture that is far, far, far from how He wants you and me to live. Strength and courage for this day is the same as it was for the people in that day. The source of that strength and courage is this book. And in the month of February, we're going to emphasize consecrating ourselves when it comes to the reading of this word. I hope you'll do it. I hope you'll give your heart to it. Determined to do it. Determined to hit all 24 days in God's Word. Now, Sundays, of course, will be in the Word of God. And get our strength and courage to live for Him in this day. Let's pray together. Thank you for your attention. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight, Lord, for your Word, what it teaches us, what it means to us, what it does for us. God, I do not preach tonight out of anger, wrath, ugliness. I just preach to try to help folks, encourage people. Lord, we all have these issues. This is a common thing in lives. Lord, we must, Lord, endeavor to consecrate ourselves in the area of reading our Bibles. God, may it be so. And I pray that during this coming month, starting Wednesday, that God will enjoy the resource of strength and courage that we find in your Word as we read it. And Lord, may we develop a habit of faithfulness and consistency and not get away from it. And Lord, thank you for people who are willing to come in and share like the brother did not long ago. And what a difference it's made in their life and the joy that was on his face as he was testifying about how good it was. So Lord, may we all experience that to a degree in the months ahead. Well, thank you for it. Speak to our hearts about it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Now listen. If somebody could slip into a little brief 2 or 3 minute meeting with a pastor and say, you know what, I've struggled, and be honest about it, then hey, let's get honest with God tonight. Let's just get honest with God. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Pastor, I need a little prodding in this area. I just do. I need a little prodding in this area. And pray that God will help me. Pray that God will help me going forward. In this basic area of Christian life, I need the strength and courage to serve and live for Him. I see some hands going up already. Would you raise your hand with these that are raising theirs tonight? God bless you. Amen. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. That's honest. That's honest. You can't help folks that won't get honest. So I appreciate it. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll look down upon us tonight, oh God. Help us to be to you, Lord, what we ought to be, faithful. And Lord, faithful in your word and to consecrate ourselves and fill your hand in this area of Christian life especially. This matter of being in the book. Thank you for it. What a great book it is. It'll change a life. It'll give us strength and courage to live for you. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, of course, the Spirit of God dealt with you specifically about salvation. Tonight's a great night to get saved, but that wasn't the theme of the message. Strength and courage. Consecrate in the area of Bible reading. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. You obey the Lord tonight. I wouldn't care what anybody thought. I would just stay dialed into what God wants. What does God want tonight? What does God want? Strength and courage. You're going to need strength and courage. You're going to have strength and courage.